Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560. Today is a subject that, you know, I just have a doubt that you've ever heard discussed in the media. And sad to say, even our Christian media. But I feel it's without a doubt one of the most important topics that we can talk about as a Christian. And we're going to hit this in two ways today. Number one is, how can you know personally, 100% know, that when you die, you will go to heaven? Then we will discuss on today's show, you know, our holidays are coming up. We're all going to be spending a lot of time with friends and family. Now, a lot of people say, hey, you get around friends and family, two things you don't bring up, politics and religion. But in our case, as a Christian, hopefully you have the burden to tell your friends and family about the Lord. And I think too many of us are just worried about that big word we all hear too much of today, offending someone. But let me give you this thought. Cancer is everywhere today. Some of your friends and mine, seemingly very healthy, get that doctor report. You have cancer. Now, let's say you had the cure to cancer, and you could tell someone exactly what to do to cure their cancer. Would you be worrying about offending them by bringing up this topic? Of course you wouldn't. You'd be standing on the street corners, crawling on the rooftops, proclaiming you have the cure for cancer without giving any thought to what others might say. It's my honor today to introduce my dad. He was affectionately given the name Bear by the gentleman that led him to the Lord a long time ago. So, Dad, welcome to Hunting the Way.
I love the name of your show, Scott. I'll get right into it. Thank you so much for letting me talk to your people today of Colorado. Folks, the greatest lesson that I've learned in life, I believe, a doctor taught me. A doctor by the name of Ralph Rashbaum. I had messed up a disc in my neck, and I went to three doctors, and they all told me a disc will not do that. They were all neurosurgeons. They all had the same pedigree. I went to Mr. Ralph Rashbaum, and I told him the same story I told the other doctors. And he said, well, I know what it is. He said, they're right. A disc won't do that. My arms were falling off. I had cobwebs in my face. I was in a miserable state. And he said, they're right. A disc won't do that. But if it's into the spinal cord, it will do that. And that's where yours is. I'll have to put the dye in your back to prove it. And that's where it was. And I said, Mr. Rashbaum, I told them the same story I told you. Can you tell me why you were able to tell me that, and they were not? He said, son, I'm listening to you. They were not listening to you. They've been to school. They've studied. They've been to school. I was listening to what you were telling me. You're telling me the disc is into the spinal cord. He taught me the greatest lesson, talking to your family, no matter where you're at or anyone on the street. Listen to the people. Listen to what they're telling you. Don't be so fast to tell them what you know, what you've learned. Listen to what they're telling you. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to tell you a quick, short story about a man on the farm. I was on the farm, and this carpenter came out. It was hanging a door for me. I had to have some carpenter work done. So I gently, politely asked him when I met him if he felt like he would go to heaven when he died. And he said, oh, yes, sir, I really feel like I would go to heaven when I died. And I said, and what I want you to do, if I ask you that question today, the audience, what would your answer be? And so this man told me, I said, well, what are you basing that on, you going to heaven when you die? He said, well, I try to live right. I go to church. And he said, I try to pay my bills. And he went down that road a little ways. And so I said, well, that's good. You should do those things. I walked on out in the farm, worked a while, came back, and I said, let me ask you another question. I said, I've got a neck that's really messed up with the spinal cord, and I've got a low back that is in terrible pain. I'm in a lot of pain. And I said, I'm just, my knees are gone. I need them replaced. If I told you I was going to walk out behind this garage and commit suicide, I pull silly things like that sometimes. But I said, if I told you I was going to go out behind this barn and commit suicide because I'm in such pain, but before I do that, I want to ask you, can you tell me how to go to heaven when I die? How can I have peace with God? How can I have my sins forgiven? And I ask you the same question. What would you have told me if I told you such a serious, ask you such a serious question as that? And you know what the man told me?
What's that?
He said, I wouldn't know what to tell you. He said, I would tell you, don't do that. I love you. But he said, I would tell you, I don't know what to tell you. And so I said, okay. I walked on out in the yard and the barn and worked a while, you know, and came back. And I said, young man, let me ask you one more question. Now, what I want you to do, audience, if you would, is what would you have told me if I told you I was going to do that? And if I ask you if you were going to heaven today and what were you basing that on, what would your answer be? And so I went on out and worked a while. I spent 8 hours on the farm that day, and I came up, I asked this guy all kinds of questions. But these three, I'll get right quick with you. And I said, young man, let me ask you, do you have any kids? He said, yes, I've got a girl 17 years old. I said, let me ask you this. If she came, sat down on your knee and said, Daddy, it's the same question. Daddy, how can I have my sins forgiven? How can I have peace with God? How can I go to heaven when I die? What would you tell your daughter? That'd be pretty serious, wouldn't it? He said, yes, it would. And he said, I don't have a clue what I would tell my daughter. So I'm asking you, what would you tell your daughter or son if they sat down in front of you? And so that's the questions that I based that on. So I went ahead and I said, young man, I was convinced in my mind that this man was lost. And so I said, come on in the house and sit down with me. So we went in and I opened the Bible and I took this young man through Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. We've all sinned. Then I took him to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means all of us. And so then I took him to Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're sinners by nature. Wherefore, as by one man sin, that was Adam in the Garden of Eden, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're sinners by nature. Then I took him to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. I always tell them, the car you're driving, the shirt you're wearing, cost a price. And there's a price on your sin. And the wages of sin is death. So then I went to Revelation 20:14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Right. Young man, I want to ask you again, all over. I want to ask you, the Bible says that we've sinned. The Bible said you're a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible said that death is the second death in the lake of fire.
Right.
And so then I asked him this question. I'm going to ask you again now. What has ever taken place in your life to change this direction for you? The Bible said you're a sinner. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. That death is the second death in the lake of fire. what has ever taken place in your life to change this direction. So I ask your audience that today, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
What has ever taken place in your life to change that direction for you?
Absolutely.
So I have on my spiritual checkup that I have designed it.
And let me say this real quick. You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and my guest today is my father. And if you're just joining us, he was given the name Bear by the gentleman that led him to the Lord a number of years ago. And I wanted my dad to come on today to talk about this matter of you know, knowing 100% sure when you die that you know that you're going to go to heaven. And then as the holidays are approaching and all, being around friends and family, you know, how do you talk to your friends? How do you talk to your family? And this is kind of a something that my dad has done for a number of years, and that's the matter of telling people about the Lord. And this is kind of a spiritual checkup, I guess we will call it today, that he has done. And so when you ask him that question then, what has ever taken place in your life to change this direction for you, I'm sure you get quite a few answers that are all over the board.
Yes, you do. And I put down three questions. I'm in three places. Answer one, answer two, answer three. And they'll put three different answers there. And if I say, what else does it take? Well, they'll write something else. They'll fill out the whole back of the sheet, Scott, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ask them, what has ever taken place in your life? And this carpenter says, not one thing. I can't think of anything. So then I ask him again. I said, well, let me ask you this. If today someone came to you and asked you, how can I have my sins forgiven? How can I have peace with God? How can I go to heaven when I die? What would you tell them? What would you tell them to do? What would you tell them? And he said, I don't have a clue. The carpenter said, I don't have a clue. And I get all kinds of answers on this spiritual checkup. And so then I ask him one more time. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Personally, how have you taken care of this payment in your life? And I ask your audience that today. The wages of sin is death. Personally, how have you taken care of that debt in your life today? And so I don't go any further than that. And the greatest thing you'll ever do is listen to your kinfolks. Listen to the people on the street. Listen to the man on the bus. Listen to what he has to say. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in the well comes up in the bucket.
And so you find what they write down. That's what's in their heart. That's what's in their mind. Yeah.
Yes. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so when I'm satisfied with all these answers, and you'd be surprised, then with this little carpenter, I took him over, and I had showed him Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, and the wages of sin is death. So then I said, now let me give you the answers on what takes care of that. And Scott, right there, I would like to add my testimony right quick. It'll
sure.
be brief. But when I was about 16 years old, Mother and Dad went to a Church of Christ church. And I was sitting there. I liked what the man said. I got up, walked down the aisle, prayed a prayer, and they baptized me. I walked out on Monday morning. I was the same person. I still talked bad. And I was nothing changed in my heart. So a year or so later, Mother and Dad went and joined a Methodist church. And they went over and joined a Methodist church. And I walked down that aisle. I prayed a prayer. And so they baptized me or sprinkled me, whichever they did, in that church. And so about 4 or 5 years later, Mother and Dad joined a Seventh-day Adventist church. Well, here I am getting a little bit older. I'm probably 20 years old. Well, I like what the man said. I got up, walked down the aisle, knelt at the altar. I prayed a prayer, and I got up, and they baptized me in the Seventh-day Adventist church. Well, come Monday morning through Friday, I was the same person. Nothing changed in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so then one Thursday night, I was sitting in my home, and a man came, knocked on my door, and he gave me these verses that I just gave you, except he gave me the answers, and I'll give you the answers now on what I missed. I found out that it was not in church membership. It was not in baptism. It was not in denomination. I found out. Now, I want you to look back. I want you to remember, what were your answers when I stepped behind the barn? I always tell people, write them down. Please write them down.
Right.
And when they write them down, what would you tell me when I ask you if you were going to heaven tonight, today? What would your answer be? And so I always tell them to write their answer down, and then they go back to them, and I can show them what they wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
And it really means a lot. Sometimes their mouth will fall wide open. They're just so shocked. So then, many, many times, so here are your answers. And remember this, Revelation 5:20, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The wages of sin is death. That death is the second death in the lake of fire. So then I show them Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not one time did this carpenter mention the old rugged cross. Not one time did he mention Jesus Christ. Not one time did he mention the Savior. And so then I show him John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Right.
Not some of the way, not part of the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then I show him Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when I read that to that carpenter sitting in my house, do you know what he said? He said, I've done that.
Hmm.
That's exactly what the man said. That's why I had to tell you the story about the carpenter this morning. He said, I've done that. I said, you've done what? He said, yes, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. And see, I said, well, son, do you see you have a problem? When I was going to step out behind the barn and commit suicide, you didn't know what to tell me. You never mentioned Jesus. You never mentioned the Savior. You never mentioned the old rugged cross. And then when I ask you about your daughter, if she come gets up on your knee, what would you tell your daughter? And
right.
You said you didn't have a clue. You wouldn't know what to tell her. And now when I read the answer in the Bible, you tell me that you have accepted him as your Savior. He said, but I have. And I said, yes, I believe you did. But let me tell you where you went wrong. Because I did the same thing 3 times in 3 churches and 3 denominations. I was walking down the aisle. I was turning over a new leaf. I was accepting Jesus as my Savior. Then I'd spend 30 minutes telling him how I was going to change, what I was going to do. And what I was actually doing is accepting self and Savior.
Right.
I wasn't accepting the Savior. Jesus said, I was accepting self and Savior. When you do that, you delete the process. And so Luke 19:10, Jesus said, he came to seek and save the lost. And as long as you're running around trying to live right to go to heaven, do right to go to heaven, pay your bills to go to heaven, give your money to the church to go to heaven, be faithful to church to go to heaven, you have not taken your place as lost.
Right.
Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. So I tell people, that's my mistake. I was turning over a new leaf. and his life goes on. You didn't accept the Savior. You actually accepted yourself. That's why the Savior was nowhere in this man's heart and mind. Nowhere. He accepted himself. And that's what he did. When you accept the self and Savior, then you delete the process of receiving the Savior as your Savior. You can accept Christ, but he will not accept you. So when you come to Jesus Christ, I told this carpenter, I said, you need, notice the word there when he said, if you'll confess the Lord with your mouth
right.
from the bottom of your heart. The word Lord means by himself. Jesus paid it all. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it said Jesus made his grave with the wicked to take my wicked place in yours. And also in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, he says, by his stripes we're healed, not by what we do. So I tell people, you take your place as lost and guilty before the judge of heaven, and you come naked and hopeless, and you accept Jesus, the life he lived, the price he paid, the blood he shed, and you ask him to forgive your sins and come into your heart, and he will do that, and he will save your soul.
Absolutely.
And so I told this carpenter that, and he understood the difference. And I said, son, that's what you did. You cannot... When Jesus takes your sins and puts them behind his back, never to be remembered, he puts them as far as the east is from the west from you, the Bible says. And he puts them, he buries them in the deepest part of the sea, never to be remembered. When you understand that and you accept the Savior as your Savior, you never forget his name. Right. You never forget what he did. You can't tell anybody anything else. You have to tell them, Jesus died for me, and I accepted him. And when I put these nine places on this spiritual checkup, many, many times, 90% out of the time, they will not even put the Savior, or they won't put Jesus, they won't put anything but how they're trying to live their life.
Right. You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest is my father, Bear Whatley. And, you know, you wonder sometimes, and Dad, I think you've probably seen this too, sometimes people feel like, you know, there's just no hope. They've messed up too much. And I am here to tell you, and you know, Dad mentioned John 14:6, and that's kind of our verse for our show, Hunting the Way, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, as he just said. But God loves you, and God will forgive you, and God wants to forgive you. So don't let the devil win that battle of beating you down, thinking that, you know, you cannot be forgiven, because God will forgive you. Absolutely, he will, and he promises to do that. And as Dad mentioned in Romans, you know, 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say might be, can be, hope to be, but it said you shall be saved. And then, Dad, and we got about 4 minutes left here, so but then you got to get the point where people probably figure out, you know, can I ever lose this salvation? So what do you say there?
Oh, boy. Let me take them here, Scott. I got so wound up on that, I forgot my security verses. Okay, I have a question here that I ask them. Once they accept Jesus as Savior, how many times must you be saved? The Bible says, Hebrews 10:10. By thee which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And then I take them to, will he ever cast you out? That's John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Then I ask them the question, did he give you 6 days' life, 6 weeks' life, 6 months' life, 6 years' life? What kind of life did he give you? In John 10:28-29, and I give unto them eternal life. Notice the word give.
Mm-hmm.
You can't earn it. eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I grab them by the wrist with my left hand, and I grip them pretty tight. And it says, no man will pluck them out of my hand. That's Jesus talking. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then I take my other hand and grab them by that wrist. I'm holding them by each wrist, and I'm gripping them enough. They know I'm holding them. They're not holding me.
Right.
He said, no man will pluck you out of my hand, nor my Father's hand. Then the next one is, can anything separate you from the love of God? And Romans 8, 38 and 39, he's going to name everything above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth, Lewis. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I had a man go to two preaching schools. He never saw this. Things present, nor things to come. Things present is when you accept Jesus as your Savior.
Right.
Things to come is whatever comes in your life. The Bible says they'll never separate you from Him. One more.
And, Dad, we're going to have to, you know what, we're going to have to pick this up again because I'm out of time and I hate to do it. But let me tell you this, folks, if you're listening to this, if you would like a copy of this spiritual checkup list that we've talked about today, or you know what, you just, you want some help, you'd like someone to talk to, I want you to send me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. Again, that's scott@huntingtheway.com. I will be happy to get you a copy of this and send this to you. And I want you to know something. I mean, my dad's 80 years old and has truly, truly led thousands of people to the Lord. And so I hope that you'll take this serious today as you approach the holidays I talked about. First of all, let me go back. First of all, you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die and that you've accepted Christ as your Savior, taken your place as a sinner, as my dad talked about, and accepted Christ as your Savior. But second, don't be worried about offending someone. Now, pray about it, approach it in the right way, but let your loved ones know over this coming up holiday season that God loves them and there is a way that they can know 100% sure when they die they can go to heaven. So, Dad, thanks so much, and I'll get you on again, and we'll finish
Welcome,
this up. All right.
Listen to your kinfolk. Listen before you open your mouth.
All right, son. Thanks for joining us today on Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and remember, God's way is the best way.